The following Life Matters talkback was recorded earlier. If you'd like to contribute to the discussion, please send your emails or voice memos to lifematters@abc.net.au. Look forward to hearing from you. That's lifematters@abc.net.au.
Has a looming milestone birthday led you to change your life? Did you decide to study something you'd never done before or have a good hard look at your health? And with us today are two people with some experience in this field. Mike Williams is an ABC documentary maker who turned 30 this year and is sharing his journey in the podcast Backflip. And Dr. Jeff Young is a clinical psychologist and family therapist. He's the director of the Bouverie Centre, Victoria's Family Institute. Mike, Jeff, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks, Hilary.
Thanks, Hilary. Nice to be with you and Mike.
It's a very interesting topic and we're getting quite a lot of discussion on our Facebook page already. Mike, we'll start with you. You turned 30 in June. Congratulations. What did it mean for you though at the time?
I was dreading it. But the thing was, I was always dreading it since I turned 20. I wasn't that keen on turning 30. And the thing about it is, I don't know why. It feels like a marker and it feels like something important needed to happen or I needed to be somewhere, but I just feared it, even though I'm very satisfied with where I've got to in my career, with my family. You know, I'm going great, but yet I still had this feeling like 30 was a marker. It was the end of something, the beginning of something else, and I should be doing something now, and I'm not sure what I should be doing.
That's really interesting. So it wasn't that you were feeling lost and aimless. You were feeling pretty good about your life, but you still felt that this was a scary date.
Yeah. That is what's weird about it. I'd love to know why. And I guess the big part for me is, of course, how I've channeled it is with my health. And trying to have this goal to improve my health. And it was a time of reflection. And that's where this wild goal of doing a backflip came about. And I think part of it is maybe I am afraid of getting older just generally. Maybe I've got it a bit more than other people. And it's not so much about bones and potential for illnesses as I get older. It's actually more about attitude. And that's where the audacity to do a backflip came about, because it's at its core, I think it's an idea. It's an idea that I can still dream.
Exactly. It's an idea, but it's having some very practical repercussions for you because you've started getting healthy in some really diverse ways as well. What else are you doing apart from the main goal of doing the backflip?
Absolutely, Hilary. I was driving home and I really felt like a frozen drink from a certain service station, and I said no. And that willpower muscle is something I'm working on. I'm learning about food and nutrition this week, also learning about exercise, when to exercise, and I'm hoping to learn about lots of other things like sleep, meditation, how I can look after myself a bit better, because that's something I think I didn't do that well throughout my 20s, is I wasn't very body aware, I wasn't prioritizing my health at all. So now I'm starting to think about that for the first time, and it's quite confronting.
Yep, you've left your bulletproof decade. It's really fascinating to see what happens then. Dr. Jeff Young, why do we feel like it's important to celebrate these milestone birthdays? Isn't 30 or 40 or 50 just a number?
Well, the big birthdays are just a number, but for some reason they create a sense of a marker. In a way, like Mike said, we can live each day at a time and in a way not notice any progress or change or even decline. And then all of a sudden, some event, and it doesn't have to be a birthday, but a big birthday is one culturally common way where we go, hold on, it's like a marker that makes visible the continuing flow of our time or our life, and a time to stop, and maybe we reflect on where we've come from, where we're going, like Mike says, at should I say it, the tender age of 30.
I know. We're all laughing at you just a tiny bit, Mike, because 30 seems like such a lovely age to us now. But Jeff, is it fear that's motivating people around that? Or is it a kind of just, like Mike said, looking back and thinking something has ended, looking forward also and thinking something is about to begin?
Yeah, I think everyone will react different ways depending on them and what's going on in their lives. And also what birthday, like there's different, I guess, common cultural reflections that we have at different times. For example, next Friday, I'm going to turn 60.
And so congratulations.
Thank you. So I'll be thinking probably different things to Mike turning 30. But some people might be frightened by that. Some people might be celebrating the birthday. I think what it does is it just helps us become more conscious of where we've come from and where we're going. And, you know, that might be good or bad.
We'll grill you a little bit later on what you plan to do around your 60th and whether it sparks some periods of reflection. But I would love to hear from you. What have you done as a big birthday approached? Something huge and radical, or just a small change that was really significant for you? Send us an email, lifematters@abc.net.au. And Scott's called from Mwillimbah. Scott, it sounds like you made a huge about turn. What happened for you?
Around 48, I suppose. I had a few changes. Some children left our home and I started getting a little sick in the stomach and realised, you know, I had to change some ways, and I stopped eating gluten, started to eat more vegetarian type meals and stopped alcohol. Cigarettes I backed down on. I still do a little bit of that, so there's a bit of a nasty there, but yeah, it's fantastic. I feel like a 20-year-old now. I was so around the 50 mark. I honestly feel much fitter than I did 5 years ago.
And Scott, how much was that about thinking, I don't want the rest of my life to be feeling like this? And how much was it about just the other things that were going on in your life? Like you said, other big changes.
Well, I mean, we all go through trauma and tragedy in life. I used to drink hard due to tragic circumstances some time back. And It was just fantastic to change my ways, because it just was organic. It just happened. Plus, this area, it's sort of a leading area for change and health. There's a lot of that around this area.
And it sounds like it's been really worth it for you. It's easily replaced what you had before.
I bounce up and down off a truck all day, and people see me and must think I'm a kid. I love it.
That's fantastic. That's my life goal now.
I must say, having a beautiful wife helped.
Of course it does. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Let's go to John in Canberra. And John, it was a zero birthday that sparked some change for you, and it sounds like quite a lot of changes. Tell us how it played out.
Yeah, g'day. I was 40 at the time, and I was in the IT industry, and I really did hate my job. And I decided at 40 to take a bit of a big holiday, so I went up to the Kimberley and did a long bike ride with a mate, and went up to New Guinea and did the Kokoda track. So I just tried to, you know, do some big things around 40. But on that trip, I met a few people who were working in some really interesting jobs. And I don't know, just something twigged in my brain. And I thought, you know, I don't want to spend the rest of my life being in this miserable profession. So I went back to Canberra. And within a month or two of getting back, I signed up at uni, did a master's degree in environmental science and became a ranger. And I've been a ranger ever since for the past 13 years.
That's fascinating. So it sounds like physically you were fairly healthy already if you're hiking the Kokoda track, but you switched something intellectually and changed the level of satisfaction you were getting from your life.
Yeah. Well, it certainly wasn't a physical decision. It was a mental decision that, you know, it's the work I was doing was challenging but not rewarding, and the money wasn't, you know, the money was good, but the money wasn't bringing me anything that I thought was of particular value. There was something missing, and I found it. So it was quite a cathartic, changing period of life, those few months. And 13 years since, still a ranger, still working in the bush, and haven't regretted a minute.
I was going to say, you don't have visions of keyboards at night.
No. Look, I get the occasional tremor when I have to do some network support at home, but, you know, it's gone. It's like I was a drug addict and I've recovered.
Fantastic. Thanks for that, John.
No worries.
And Chris joins us from Bruny Island. Now, Chris, it sounds like you had quite a severe health issue as well around a big birthday.
Hi, Hilary. That was actually quite unexpected, but I was always very healthy. But coming up to 50, I'm now 57, coming up to 50, I had that exactly like everybody else. The kids are leaving home now. What is it for me? And I decided to finish my marriage. I left my marriage and I went back to study and got a nutritional degree and opened up my own nutrition practice and ran that for quite a while. And then in the middle of all that, I got a diagnosis of bowel cancer, which, again, pulled the rug out, from under me. And came through that, obviously, and went back to study and got a master's degree. And now I am running a accommodation place on Bruny Island with my new partner. So huge change of life in the last 10 years.
Indeed. And it's different, isn't it, the change that life throws at you compared to the change that you generate yourself. Are you...
Absolutely.
Do you feel like making those changes, though, helped you cope with the other difficulties that landed on you as well?
Oh, most definitely. It was a shift in the way I perceived my self-worth and, a shift in rather than looking at what, my family and they were the most important thing and I was their nurturer and carer. It was a profound shift now it's actually time for me. I've done my job there and I've produced some wonderful people, wonderful adults, and now what about me? And so that really did allow for all these changes now experiencing.
I'm glad you could tick that box next to the wonderful people. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Now, Jeff Young, why are rituals around celebrating birthdays so important? We've been hearing these incredible stories, but how do people make that marker for themselves if they're not, for example, going to go off and hike the Kokoda Track?
I think rituals are interesting. If you think about them, they celebrate a particular point in time, often with some reference to what's happened in the past. For example, if you think of the traditional marriage ceremony, it acknowledges it's a celebration of a particular joining of a couple of people. There's acknowledgement of the past relationships, but from then on, there's a different alliance. So it sort of it signifies to everyone in a person's social network that things have changed, and it sort of pushes time forward. You can't be unmarried. So the next step might be divorce or a happy marriage, but you can't be unmarried. So it pushes time forward, which is interesting.
It's almost like a chemical change of state, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's Prigogine, who's a chemist scientist, talks about reversible time. And if time's reversible, for example, it can have impacts on our social and our life too. That, for example, I did work in a large psychiatric hospital many years ago with really long-term clients, and they were in hospital for 12 years on average, which was huge. And each admission, sometimes they felt that each admission was exactly the same as the last one. There was no progress or change. So time was sort of reversible. And so rituals, like healing and health rituals, can actually push you forward. And you might go back into hospital, but in a different way, having achieved certain things or developed in different ways. So rituals can have a significant impact on time.
And when you personally write about chronicity and timelessness, is that the kind of thing we're talking about?
Yeah, chronos comes from the Greek word, chronicity comes from the Greek word chronos, meaning time. And in that work, we found that one way of understanding why people find it difficult to notice change when they're facing chronic difficulties is that they've slipped into a sense of timelessness where one day seems the same as the next. And one way of dealing with that or addressing that is to create a sense of timefulness where things you can notice time and hence change. And we started to think, what are the things in everyday life that create a sense of timefulness in our lives? And it was birthdays, rituals, major events, good or bad illness, or trauma or positive events that create a sense of time. And once we have a sense of time, we can notice that things can be different because things have to be different over time to get a sense of progress and change.
We're talking with clinical psychologist Dr. Jeff Young and Mike Williams, who turned 30, freaked out and decided to do a backflip. Mike, as Jeff said, you know, you change state when you notice those marker points in your life and you can't unring the bell of turning 30. Do you feel different now?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you ask that because it's often people say, you know, as they get older, you know, you get older and then one day you turn around and you're 50 or you turn around and you're 60. Happy birthday, Jeff, by the way. It's exciting.
Thank you.
For you. and then it happened to me. I turned around and I was 30. That ritual, that marker sort of snapped me to attention. And it's only as I've been thinking about it over these past couple of months, I'm now on the other side of 30, which is scary to say. But I have been wondering, what if I own it? What if this is a good thing? What if maybe I'm a bit more comfortable in a weird way in my own skin and I'm a bit more confident with my work? I'm no longer an emerging person. Maybe I'm that mid-career person And that's given me a lot of confidence in how I talk on social media and how I'm dealing in the workplace. And I'm just starting to think maybe this could be a good thing.
That's fantastic. You've emerged from your chrysalis and you're almost fully formed now.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do this vulnerable backflip project 5 years ago, definitely not 10 years ago. So I'm wondering if, in a weird way, now's the time I can do it, even though I probably should have done it 10 years ago.
Yep. Well, and if it's any comfort, even when you're pushing 50 or hopefully 60, Jeff, you still feel like a child inside in some ways, in the good ways. Lots to hope for you, Mike.
Thank you.
Let's take some more calls. I'd love to hear from you if you've done something differently as a big birthday approached. Send us an email, lifematters@abc.net.au. Margaret's in Brisbane. And Margaret, you turned 70 this year, but the change started a lot earlier for you.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for your wonderful program. I'm totally inspired by all your speakers. When I was 60, I thought that I would like to do a Camino walk, and I wasn't very fit, and so it took me another 10 years not to get fit, but I'm much fitter now than I was at 60. And so I just decided that's what I was going to do, and it was the most wonderful, wonderful walk. I have not long back, and celebrated on the walk on my 70th birthday with my husband and two other local friends. And it was the most, it was challenging. We only did a partial walk, 204 kilometres.
Partial walk.
But it was certainly a very life-changing event for me, yes.
And so this is the Camino de Santiago in Spain, and it's a centuries-old pilgrimage site.
Correct.
Did you feel like there was a spiritual aspect to it for you as well, Margaret?
Absolutely. Probably for me, it was very spiritual. I do embrace a lot of spiritual and beautiful emotional thoughts. And I found it mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually challenging in some regards. So, it wasn't the main aim of my going. I think it was a challenge for me to do the walk, but certainly along the walk, there were some very poignant moments. And, it does fill me up now as I'm speaking, actually, because it was a truly beautiful thing to have done.
It sounds like the challenge was firmly balanced with the rewards. Margaret, thank you for telling us that story.
Thank you.
Let's go to Andrew in Manly. Andrew, what happened for you and when?
I turned 40 and decided that I wanted to become a jouster.
A jouster. So we're talking the horse, the armour, the very long lance?
Is there any other way?
That's great. And so what happened?
Well, I think it's a classic story of when you have a good idea and, you know, you just go for it, boots and all, and nothing's going to get in your way, much to the chagrin of my long-suffering wife. I was trawling through the internet one day, and there it was. People actually did jousting. So I contacted the guy up in New South Wales, Rod Walker, who's been doing it for a long time, and said, I want to learn how to joust. And he said, how's your horse riding? And I said, I better start that pretty soon as well. So at 40, there I was buying, you know, my poor wife's arm was turning up at the door and she's like, what's this all about? And I'm off learning to ride a horse. And a couple of years later, I started to compete in my first jousting tournament.
And Andrew, that's a very poor line, unfortunately, but I do want to ask you what that's meant to you all these years on.
Jousting means for me, it's a mental game. It's really a challenge for yourself when you look at all the things that have to come together, the riding of the horse, looking out of the little slit in the armour and seeing a guy barreling towards you with a lance. It's about conquering your own fear. And after you do that, you go into a business meeting and there's not much really that can rattle you after that, I would say.
I would say so too. If I can deal with this enormous lance hurtling towards me off a horse, I can deal with this guy in a suit. Thank you so much for that, Andrew. What incredible stories we're hearing today with Dr. Jeff Young, clinical psychologist, and Mike Williams, host of the Backflip podcast. Mike, I wonder, do you think you would have made these changes if you hadn't had that turning point birthday approaching?
Probably not.
And do you think it's going to stick?
I hope so. That's the goal. I mean, if I don't get it to stick, if I do all this work over these couple of months and I don't learn from it and make sustainable changes to my health, I'm kind of defeating the purpose, because I'm trying to find out real long-standing information that will help me, but also if anyone who listens here on Life Matters can get something out of it as well. So I'm just thinking maybe I should have done jousting. That sounds really good.
Sounds so cool. Mike, I'm wondering too what role societal pressures play in making you think you need to do something big around 30. Where do you think that pressure of expectation comes from?
I'm not sure.
Do your parents say things about, now you're going to be 30, you'll have to blah, blah, blah?
No, I don't think so. I think it's come from, in my case, it's come from within me. I don't know that there's been too many pressures. I mean, one thing that gets talked about a lot is starting a family and the time constraints are around that. That's something in the back of my mind. But for me, I don't think there's been a big societal push, but maybe that's been a subconscious thing. Maybe I haven't been aware of it,
And I need to correct myself. Backflip is a series for Life Matters, and we'll be hearing more of Mike Williams' story over the next few weeks as well.
Absolutely.
Dr. Jeff Young, is it going to stick? If people use a milestone birthday as a turning point, how likely is it that that change will continue? What does it depend on?
Well, in some ways, it depends on you having to manage that change. And I'm thinking with Mike, you can use this same sort of metaphor of time to help him notice his progress. He could just feel like commonly people think, I've been trying to get fit. I haven't really made any difference. I haven't got anywhere. But then if you think back, and if Mike thinks back to the day he started and compares what he's done now, he'll go, I've run a half marathon. I've actually started consulting about how to do this backflip. I've actually done quite a bit. And people, we're not programmed to notice things. We're only programmed to notice change. So to create a sense of change, you need to be able to sometimes compare two points in time to get that contrast.
Well, there'll be an audio and digital record of Mike's progress too. He'll be able to check back in later years. Jeff, what if the progress people think they should have made by a certain time has not been made? Can these milestone birthdays be a depressing moment in our lives?
Yeah, look, I think they can either be positive or depressing. They just create a sense of awareness that life's not forever, that where it's a sort of a useful metaphor of, or a tangible account of our life. I'm 60. I know that I'm more than halfway through my life. Okay, that sort of brings forth certain things of thinking. Okay, if there's things I want to do, I better get on and do them. But I think my view of old age, for example, is that it's really just 10 years older than what you currently are.
Well, and you're saying you're more than halfway through your life. I just stick my fingers in my ears and go la, la, la when people say that. You don't know how long people are going to live for these days. Technology is amazing. Yeah. Let's take some more calls quickly. Jean's in Maitland. And Jean, you had your 70th a week ago. What happened?
Well, I've been thinking about it for most of the year, because it is a milestone. And also back at Easter, I hurt my back and was unable to walk properly for a couple of weeks. And I just thought, is this the beginning of the downhill slide into old age and not being able to do things? And I decided to do something about it, besides exercising. But I have got a camper van, and coincidentally, my cousin in Darwin asked if I could house sit for a month. So I decided to do that and visit my family as well, because my family is spread around Australia. I've got a daughter in Melbourne, daughter in Maitland, a son in Bowen in Queensland. And so it would be a real hassle for them to all get together for my 70th, and a daughter in Adelaide. So I thought I'll go and visit them all.
And Jean, it sounds like you've been reassessing what's important to you.
Yes, yes. And I really feel alive. You know, it's great. I've had my ups and downs on the trip. I've got to Maitland now. I will head back to Adelaide eventually. But it's been very rewarding. And also I do bird watching. So I've been watching along the way and going to special spots.
I'm glad to hear you're having a rewarding time and the family's getting to enjoy time with you as well. Thanks, Jean. Leona is in Melbourne. And Leona, you had an experience on the Camino de Santiago as well. What happened for you?
As we were hiking, we did like the whole thing. But halfway through, I was looking on my social media and I thought, oh, there's a Quidditch team. So I ended up, when we came back from Camino, joining a Quidditch team for about 3 years. And
so this is the Harry Potter game.
Yeah, it is.
How do you?
We don't fly, but
no, of course not. No, you just you have the brooms, but they don't leave the ground.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a couple of different people that are blodgers, so that's like dodgeball. And there's also the other half of the team chases after the snitch, which is a sock that's on the back of someone's shorts with a tennis ball in it.
Fantastic.
It's quite funny. But it was really, really fun. It's like a fast-moving sport and it's really dynamic. And I got so fit with that I was able to do the 20-kilometre obstacle course of Tough Mudder, which was amazing just to be that fit.
Yes. And so this all happened around the time that you turned 30. Was that a key point for you?
Yeah, I felt like I was getting old and now... now I'm approaching 40, so I've got to find something else that's challenging.
Call us back when you do. I want to hear the rest of that story. Leona, thank you.
Sure.
Mike, do you have any plans for your next big birthday? Obviously, it's a very long time away. Triple back somersault, half twist and pike.
Front flip, maybe.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm just still trying to get over this one, Hillary. But I'm intrigued that Quidditch got Leona pumped up. That's great.
It's a gorgeous idea, isn't it, that people have taken this game that is made up completely out of a book and put it in the real world. I love it.
Never would have thought it.
And Jeff, what about you? 60 next week, what is the plan?
Oh, I guess I'm in the pre-retirement phase, thinking about what I'll do post-work, which is probably a large transition for me. So, you know, my wife and I have developed a 20 acres about in Pylong, and that was in preparation for retirement. I knew I'd need something sort of major to keep myself busy, which is exciting.
Well, and it is exciting. I was thinking, hearing some of these stories, obviously people aren't going to wait around for a milestone birthday for some of these really big changes. You've been preparing for some time around other life events. People aren't going to not leave a bad relationship if it's time to go. How important is that context?
Well, listening to the talkback stories, and they're fascinating, aren't they? It's not just the big 60 or 70 or 40 or 30. It's the years leading up to it, thinking, okay, maybe I should do something. And it's just an arbitrary marker. But Margaret, for example, and how inspiring to do the Camino Trail. But if you listen to the way she spoke, she was using dynamic metaphors. And when people are stuck and there's not a sense of progress, they're often static metaphors, like I'm stuck, I'm getting nowhere, I'm flat. And helping change those metaphors into dynamic ones, like journey's a common one. And therapists use this to help people move and progress and change. What chapter of the book are you up to? And it allows you to think into the future, which in your head you can be very different to the way you are now. So that's a very helpful way to change. You know, you can write your final chapters or your epilogue or think of what step you're up to in a major change. So all those things can help us do major things by breaking them down into small achievable steps.
And Mike, do you feel like the physical challenge you've set yourself is a metaphorical one as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. The backflip is just a giant metaphor for me, and that's why people get stressed. You know, we're amping up the stakes of the backflip and what can go wrong with the story because we got to do that because it's exciting. But the backflip,
also real.
Yeah. But I'm months away from actually getting to the point, and when I do, it'll be in a foam pit and things like that. So I'm interested now in it as an idea and how people react to the idea. And I'm holding on to the audacity. I keep coming back to that, but the audacity of the idea of a backflip and at its core, having a dream and holding on to that.
Well, I'm looking forward to your audacious 30s. Thanks so much for coming onto the program today. And you can find more from Mike Williams on the Life Matters homepage. Just check out the backflip tile. And Dr. Jeff Young, clinical psychologist and director of the Bouverie Centre at La Trobe University. Thank you both so much today.
Thank you, Hilary.
Thanks, Hilary.
You're listening to Life Matters here on RN.